Good evening, Devlin Bishop here with you, and welcome to another edition of Mondo Nostalgia Radio. I hope you're doing well tonight, and thank you for clicking on play and joining me here tonight. I will warn anybody, if you are not a superhero nerd, this is probably not the episode for you, because this whole show is going to be dedicated to superhero movies, and in particular, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. As we are on the eve of Avengers Endgame coming in to basically put together 21 movies. Avengers Endgame will be the 22nd movie, and it's basically a series of movies that have just changed so much in the movie-going industry. Not only have they all been very successful, but they have managed to link together a universe like no other. You know, I think the closest thing you could think of is maybe James Bond, but even them, the movies are separate and stuff. In the year 2008, in July, a little movie came out called The Dark Knight, Christopher Nolan's second in his Batman series. And The Dark Knight was considered a major change in how superhero movies were made. They went from being kind of fluff pieces to being considered, like, definitely for adults as well as children. And it definitely changed the landscape. But a few months earlier in 2008, there's a movie that also made its debut on May 2nd, 2008. A little movie called Iron Man that was directed by Jon Favreau and starring Robert Downey Jr. came out. And I know Dark Knight definitely changed the landmark, but we have to give Iron Man some props. Because Iron Man was a property that wasn't really well known unless you were a really big comic book fan. And Robert Downey Jr. was, you know, a critically acclaimed actor, but he certainly had his share of demons and hadn't really proved himself. And Marvel took a huge gamble by using this as the kickstart to their Marvel Cinematic Universe. And I know Dark Knight gets a lot of the love, but Iron Man should be loved because this movie could have easily failed. But the movie did incredible and set up 21 movies that eventually would be linked together in so many ways. And that, to me, is incredible. And Iron Man doesn't get enough justice for it. So 2008, huge year for superhero movies coming through. Anyhow, in those 11 years, 21 movies have come. And as I said, intertwine the universe. And, you know, sure, we've seen superhero movies before that. You know, we had the Tim Burton and Joel Schumacher Batman era. We had the Christopher Reeve Superman era. We had the X-Men movies in there. Even the first three Spider-Man movies in there. But these movies definitely made an impact. Marvel had already been kind of hit and miss with their movies, and DC had already had successes with Superman and Batman, but it seemed like it took forever to get an X-Men movie or Spider-Man. But once they got them rolling, they certainly became huge. And tonight we're celebrating Avengers Endgame, which, if you're listening to this like the first week that I've released it, I will tell you right now, this is my tribute to the MCU, because I am going to attempt to rank my favorite of the top 21 movies. I have my tickets for Endgame, but I'm not going to be seeing that for a couple of days. So I decided that I am going to pay tribute by ranking them. And this was not an easy endeavor by any means. One of the big reasons is because for me, none of these movies were stinkers. Even the lowest on my thing is only there because something had to be the lowest. And I enjoyed all 21 of these movies. But obviously there were some more movies that I loved and some didn't. But I have to say that Kevin Feige, who was the main producer and head of this whole thing, has to be commended. Because not only did he create this MCU, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, that even long past Endgame is going to continue in Phase 4 and 5, he's got a game plan for years in advance. And he should be commended, because all these movies not only were major financial successes, but successful in weaving a story that got us to Avengers Endgame. And he should be commended, because this was a hell of an achievement. And it's just incredible. You can definitely tell he's a comic book fan. So as you can see, we'll be talking a lot about the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So if you're not a comic book geek, this is probably not the episode you want to start with. That also being said, I'm going to try to keep spoilers to a minimum, but since a lot of these movies have already been out, I will maybe accidentally hit a spoiler here and there. So if you're kind of like, haven't seen these movies, you might want to be careful, but I will try my best not to. But then I thought, yeah, pretty much anybody who's a true fan of the Marvel Cinematic Universe is probably has seen all these movies. Anyhow, the first half, we're going to go from 21 to 11. And then the second half of the show, we will do my top 10. Marvel Cinematic Universe, top 21. As I said, I like all these movies, but there had to be some at the bottom. So let's do this. And sadly, coming in at number 21 is a really sweet movie that lots of people absolutely loved. It was a property that was considered very hard to put together, but they did it. They succeeded. But for me, it is my lowest of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And number 21 goes to Ant-Man. Paul Rudd was announced for this, and a lot of people weren't sure, because Paul Rudd is a very likable actor, but he's sometimes a little, you know, goofy, comedic, but he certainly is handsome. But he pulled off Ant-Man no problem, and I don't think anybody had any real problems with him. They also managed to do a little bit of a heist film in this, which was different than all the other movies. That's one of the things the Marvel Cinematic Universe does, is it literally tries, took some chances, and it'll be interesting to see what they do in the future to take more chances. But I found the heist film, I kind of bored with heist films, so that didn't help it for me. I also found that a lot of the people loved the comedy in this, but I thought a lot of it was based on stereotypes, and I was actually surprised that people seemed to be okay with that. So Ant-Man, to me, just isn't really up to par from any of the other movies in this list. But as I said, I still enjoy it. It is still likable. But, you know, it's not one that I could go see. You know, I think I've seen it twice, and that's kind of plenty for me. It's not like I wouldn't watch it, you know, years down the way, but I'd definitely probably watch any of the other 20 movies that are on this list. But sorry for you Ant-Man fans, number 21 is Ant-Man. Coming in at my number 20 is Iron Man 2. Again, don't hate any of these movies, but Iron Man 2 I had some problems with. I just really had troubles with some of the story aspects in this, and definitely the villain. Marvel has gotten better with their villains, but they don't have the strongest of villains. But as I said, they have improved in it. Thanos is certainly a huge improvement. And they needed him to be big, since they were, you know, wrapping Phase 3 up with this two-part Avengers movie. But this one, the Mickey Rourke character, was just, you know, I appreciate what Mickey Rourke was attempting to do, and he had just come off some really good performances in Sin City and The Wrestler, but I just found this was just not a great movie. The motivation was sort of there, but it wasn't that great. I also thought some of the battle sequences, the end battle sequence, again, this is mild spoiler, it was kind of weird, because Iron Man and War Machine were being attacked by a whole bunch of these other robots that were now under the control But there is actually a sequence where Black Widow comes in and basically is at the control of these. And instead of just turning off the robots, she lets them fight. And yeah, you need that for a good cinematic finale, but in real hindsight, Black Widow could have just pulled the plug, which made this to be kind of a ludicrous situation. It's like, okay, I'm just going to watch my friends take it on. Again, great performances in this from Robert Downey Jr., and I like that they made the relationship with him and Pepper Potts, played by Gwyneth Paltrow, a little stronger. And I liked seeing Scarlet Witch? And I liked seeing that Black Widow had a little bit bigger of a presence in this movie, but still, movies have to be down there because there are so many good ones. So number 20, Iron Man 2. I hate doing this because people are going to just think I'm hating on Paul Rudd, but coming in at number 19 is Ant-Man and the Wasp, and it's not. I actually really like Ant-Man and the Wasp, but it's not an overly memorable film. Things I loved about the first one was Michael Douglas and Evangeline Lilly. So when they did Ant-Man and the Wasp, this was the first movie after Infinity War. So they wanted to go for a lighter tone, and I thought it was better than the original Ant-Man, but it was also kind of a forgettable movie, and they just tried some stuff I didn't like. I thought Michelle Pfeiffer was great, even though she's only in a little bit of the movie, but overall, Ant-Man and the Wasp didn't leave me, you know, just wanting more. I'll be honest with you, with a lot of Marvel, the last couple of films that came out, I've actually been kind of a little bored by, because I find that they follow a template, and this is a perfect example of that template. As I said, I do find this better than the original Ant-Man, but again, I think it told a better story that I was more interested in. And remember, these are just my opinions, and your opinions will be different. And hey, if you want to share your opinions with me, I'd love to hear it. So anyhow, number 19 went to Ant-Man and the Wasp. Coming in at number 18 is a movie that a lot of people put at the bottom of their list, but I actually didn't hate it as much as other people, and that's Thor: The Dark World. This was the second of the Thor movies. Again, I didn't hate any of these movies. I actually liked this one, but the lack of chemistry really between Chris Hemsworth as Thor and Natalie Portman, I believe, I'm getting that right, is really abundant, where there's some nice flirting in the first movie. I found that I really didn't get the love affair there, and this was one of the first movies that tried to tackle one, because not every one of these movies has this great love story. I liked some of it. I think some of the imagery in Thor: The Dark World is good, but again, when they go back and forth to this, I actually thought this would be a little higher than one of the other Thor movies, but when I really thought about it, I said, no, I think The Dark World leaves me wanting more. And the Thor, it's funny because with the Iron Man and the Captain America movies, they have a certain tone. But Thor, almost all three movies for me, kind of have a different feel. Thor, the original, kind of has a comedic feel. The second one kind of has a more epic feel. And then the third one, which we'll be talking about shortly, kind of left me like it was just slapstick comedy. But hey, both those two other Thors beat out my number 18 movie, which was Thor: The Dark World. Okay, I actually like this movie, and I hated that I had to put it so low, but I was really going for stuff here. And this is the movie that's kind of a bit of an eyesore in some ways to the MCU. So a lot of people rank this one pretty low too, and I guess this is pretty low, but number 17 for me is The Incredible Hulk. Edward Norton is Bruce Banner in this one, and the reason this has got some issues is because it was rumored that Ed Norton became hard to work with, and so going forward, we kind of lost Ed Norton and was replaced by Mark Ruffalo. So in a lot of the Avengers, and because this one didn't make quite as much money as a lot of the other movies, we never did get a sequel to this movie. But it kind of stands out because it is a different actor. I actually think Ed Norton gives a phenomenal part, and I actually really like the story. I think the fight sequences are great, and you know, we had that awful Hulk movie prior to this, and this rectified it for me. I thought the action sequences were quite nice. I actually thought the Ed Norton, Liv Tyler stuff was really great. I like that they dealt with, some of the problems you don't think about too much, as in, you know, not only does he get angry, but I like that, you know, when they were getting ready to have a love scene, his heart starts racing and he's about to turn into the Hulk. So it actually dealt with issues that, you know, maybe as a kid when I used to watch the old TV show, I always said, well, you know, is it just anger or does it, is it the heart rate? Because it always seems like it's the heart rate, so I like that they addressed that. I actually think this is a pretty solid movie. I like that they didn't go for the origin story. They just jumped right in it. That was definitely a plus. And quite frankly, I wish I could have put this one higher, but I'm actually surprised at some of the ones I put higher, but I really did my homework on this one. Coming in at number 16 is Thor Ragnarok. Now, anybody who knows me is probably surprised to hear this is so high. And the reason why is because I actually had a lot of problems with this movie, but I went for a lot of things, and visually, I think this is the best looking Thor movie. As I said, all three Thor movies have a different feel to me, and this one definitely feels like a Guardians of the Galaxy, just the color template and stuff. Tiki Wai, oh, I always forget this guy's name, so let me get it here. Tiki what Taki Watiki, I'm probably messing that up, took over the reins, and for anybody who knows him, he's a comedic guy, and you can definitely see that they put a lot of comedy in. And I think it works sometimes because Chris Hemsworth in other movies has shown he's got great comic timing. The only problem is that this movie is almost turns everybody into Looney Tunes characters. In fact, I am actually disappointed in people that tell me that they absolutely love Thor Ragnarok, but they hated Guardians of the Galaxy 2 because it was too goofy. I hate that people tell me that they said Aquaman was too goofy because, bar none, Thor Ragnarok is just as goofy. In fact, it's even more so. My biggest problem is it's not just Thor who's up the ante in his comic timing. Everybody is funny. In fact, the villain, Cate Blanchett, who plays Thor's half-sister, I believe is just, I can't even take her seriously because they give her jokes. Everybody gets jokes. Loki gets jokes. Everybody gets jokes. Jokes, jokes, jokes. Guardians still had a heart. And Aquaman, I know that's not in the MCU, but for those who said it was goofy too, again, had some heart to it. There's no heart I found in Thor Ragnarok, but visually I did like it and I did like some of the story aspects. I hate that there's some serious stuff here. Again, a minor spoiler here, but Asgard is actually destroyed in this movie. And this is, you know, a place that I had been in a couple of movies already, and it's actually a very traumatic moment. And it's actually thrown off by them putting a joke at the end of it. And I hated that. Every time that, you know, something major has, and there's some major stuff that happens in this movie, a joke comes in and nothing is taken seriously. I said the reason I put this higher is because I do find there is some entertainment value in it, and I'm going to give it its credits. But I have to say that I was kind of disappointed in Thor Ragnarok. So it's coming in at number 16 on mine. I'm sure it'd be in the top 10 for most people. Now, I already probably got haters now for Thor Ragnarok. I'm really going to get some haters for this one because it's only number 15, and that's where I've got Black Panther. I'm actually surprised it came so high because this is not one of my favorite movies, but rewatching it and thinking about it, there is lots to like about this. I cannot believe that Black Panther stands as one, the first comic book movie to be nominated for Best Picture. This, to me, is a huge insult to movies like Dark Knight, Avengers: Infinity War, Logan. You know, I may not have been the biggest fan of all those movies, but I understand it. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand the importance of Black Panther, and I'm glad it did as well as it did, because I know for African-American or African-Canadian, it gave them a real hero to look up to. But overall, I actually find this movie to be a little boring. I think visually, there's some wonderful stuff in it. I think it's got a great soundtrack. I think the costumes are phenomenal. I think they have some really interesting characters here. And has one of the best villains that the MCU had in Killmonger, who's kind of a villain, but his ideas are good, but he sets out in a different way to take care of them. So there's a lot going for it. But that being said, I find the action sequence in this to be a little bit muddy, and the storytelling totally predictable. I think the biggest problem I had with Black Panther is the fact the way his suit works, I never felt there was a need for power. This is a problem I have being a Superman fan, because people are always putting down Superman for being too powerful. I found Black Panther is just in a similar thing. They tell you that because of the material they use in his suit, if he gets punched, the second time he gets punched, it actually makes the suit stronger. It's a neat idea, but in no ways do I ever feel that there's any peril. Also, his younger sister, who makes all these amazing things where she's driving cars and simulators and stuff, it's high-tech stuff that, yeah, I know is probably coming or definitely in comic book. But again, I feel that there's no sense of anything. A predictable story, I think, honestly, and I might be an unpopular opinion here, if this Black Panther was a origin story for a white character, I think it would have just been wrote off as nothing special. But I understand its importance to the history of superhero movies, but for me, Black Panther is only a 15, and it's just a big disappointment that this is what will be remembered as the first superhero movie. And yes, you can jeer, you can turn things off now and stuff, but this is just my opinion, and my opinion is just as important as your opinion. Nobody's right, nobody's wrong, so bear with me. Number 14 is Doctor Strange. I like Doctor Strange a lot. It visually has got some psychedelic stuff, and this was the first one that took us into the supernatural and trippy thing. And when he does the opening of dimensions and stuff, it's really neat. I think Benedict Cumberbatch is perfect in the role of this. Did I get the right actor for that? I'm pretty sure I did, but I'm actually going to check, because when I say it, it just doesn't sound right to me, but I'm pretty sure I am right. But anyhow, the performance as Doctor Strange is actually awesome. I like that he's this, Benedict Cumberbatch. I don't know why, but it's, you know how sometimes you say a star of a movie and you're just like, is that right? But anyhow, I actually really like the character, because he's very arrogant doctor and stuff. And then when he loses the use of his hands and he has to go through the spiritual journey, it's actually quite interesting. That being said, it's not higher up, because I also found that this movie had a lot of boring patches in it, and its rewatchability for me is not quite as high as some of the other movies. But I do think, you know, I remember watching it the first time, I really liked it a lot. I just found second, third time watchings didn't hold up as much for me, but there's still a lot to be liked in it, and so I give Doctor Strange number 14. Really surprised this next movie got as high as it did, but I did really surprisingly enjoy it, and I kind of was getting bored. I was just coming off Black Panther, which, as you know, I wasn't a big fan of, Thor Ragnarok, and Ant-Man and the Wasp, which you've already seen, have already been in my top 21. So I was getting Marvel Universe fatigue, and when I saw the early trailers for this next movie, my number 13 movie, Captain Marvel, I actually didn't really run out to go see it the first weekend. This is one of the first Marvel movies. I actually waited a couple weeks, and I was pleasantly surprised when I actually went to go see it. Everybody raved. This was Marvel's first lead female. And I think it's a little embarrassing that Marvel waited 21 episodes when they had strong female characters already. That being said, I'm also a little bit saddened because technically Ant-Man and the Wasp, played by Evangeline Lilly, was actually a pretty major character in that. And I felt she got downplayed because Cap Marvel was coming out. I knew nothing about Cap Marvel. I really liked this movie. I did have some issues with it. Brie Larson, I didn't think I'd fall for the character, but eventually as the story went on, it did work for me. There's some nice laughs in it, but it wasn't over the top. There was some heartwarming stuff. So I actually was surprised how much I liked and really surprised to see how high up it was on my list. But I really thought it was good. Again, my biggest problem with Captain Marvel is she has the whole Superman thing. Superman always gets reprimanded for being so powerful. But I feel that they played Captain Marvel like she is going to be even more powerful. But nobody says anything because it's Marvel's first lead female character. My biggest fear in Endgame is that I want the original Avengers to be the ones to take down Thanos. I don't mind that Captain Marvel or a couple of the newer ones do help out, but I'm a little nervous that Captain Marvel's so powerful that she's just going to come in and take the spotlight, and I really don't want that to happen because this is supposed to be the end game for the original Avengers, so I want to see them getting a lot of the glory. I don't mind that she helps. I like the cat. I like Nick Fury. Not only did the young... I almost forgot that he was... They made him look younger in this movie, and they're getting really good at it, and I forgot, and then I go, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, they've definitely changed his look and stuff. There's a lot I liked about it. I think the villain is pretty strong. The movie has some predictable moments, but again, my biggest problem with it is just how powerful Captain Marvel is, but still, 13, pretty good ranking for that one. Coming in at number 12 is Iron Man 3. I like this movie a lot. It was the movie that came after The Avengers, where he had some mental issues because of what he had to do, his part in saving the world. And I like that it continued on from this, and there's some wonderful moments where we actually see Tony Stark dealing with, you know, immortality. He deals with just starting to change the way he sees things, which again eventually will set up for a future movie with Civil War. And it's actually really well. He even starts taking his relationship with Pepper to the next level, and I think it all works. And I think this movie actually built Tony Stark. I've always been a fan of Robert Downey's Tony Stark, but he was kind of just this funny playboy, and I think this was the movie that kind of moved him to show that Tony Stark actually has some layers and dimensions. And I think there's some just lovely action moments in this. Again, I think it's just a solid film, and it's my number 12. So we got one more before we're going to take a short break. And number 11 is going to go to the first Thor movie. A lot of people don't have as much love for this because it's kind of a weird little movie, because it's the first time... Thor is a tough one to call because, you know, yeah, everything's science fiction based, but now we were going to a planet, you know, far, far out there. And Thor could have really failed. But this movie looks like it should be epic, and it comes off actually very small because a lot of it is the fish out of water when Thor is basically banished by his father and sent to the planet Earth. And then Thor has some wonderful, like, comedic moments where he just tries to get it. I think the selling point for me on this one is Chris Hemsworth's portrayal of Thor is top-notch. He just embraces that character, and you can see he's this spoiled warrior who loves all the stuff he does and deserves the accolations. But you also get to see him when he has to deal with, you know, stuff. I think this is one of the strongest Loki and Thor battles in this. I'm actually not the biggest Loki fan. I actually like the actor and I like things, but I get sick when Loki's always like, oh yes, Loki's betraying us again. And people tell me, well, that's his character. And I go, yeah, how many times can somebody stab you in the back and you keep trusting him? But I think this movie sets up that relationship so perfectly, which continues as they go. So it's nice. As I said, I like the kind of little relationship he has with Natalie Portman here, even though by Dark World it just doesn't seem to work anymore. But it is quite nice here. And, Chris Hemsworth, really nice to look at in this movie. Though it is difficult to watch because his eyebrows and that are dyed blonde. And I don't think they do that in future episodes. And watching it actually jars me sometimes at how bad it looks. So anyhow, Thor is my number 11 movie. There it is, 21 to 11. Why don't you get yourself a drink, maybe some popcorn? That would be appropriate. Maybe order your Endgame tickets if you haven't already, because if you haven't heard, this is going to be the movie event of the summer, if not the year, and tickets are flying off. We just managed to get some in at the last minute, and I am excited about it. But I'll talk more about Endgame at the end of my list. But when we come back, my 10 favorite Marvel Cinematic Universe movies coming up right after this break.
Watch for your drive-in theater ads in local publications, so you won't miss your favorite stars in top-flight film creations. Now here's the biggest star of all, our old-time great attraction. It's Armor Star, the Frank that gives you eating satisfaction. On sale at our refreshment bar,
its flavor is so enticing.
It's fresh, it's pure, its tempting taste comes from its subtle spicing. We've popcorn too, all hot and crisp, and drinks of every flavor. We've candy and we've chewing gum, just name the brand you favor.
Welcome back, and if you just tuned in, you're listening to Devlin's Mondo Nostalgia Radio Show, and I am counting down my top 21 Marvel Cinematic Universe movies. Can't stress how much a wonderful string of movies that they lined up. As I said, I don't hate any of these movies. I may be getting a little bored with some of the later ones, and I'll talk about that a little bit later. But with Endgame coming up, it looks like, we're all going to get a chance to see exactly what's going on and see exactly how it all comes together, even though it will continue after this. Endgame is supposed to see, almost the end of a lot of the big characters or storylines. So, without further ado, we'll talk more about Endgame at the end of this, but it's now time to look at the 10. My 10 favorite Marvel Cinematic Universe movies, starting off with number 10, Guardians of the Galaxy 2. I know a lot of people didn't like this as much as the first one, but I'm a sucker for Guardians. I love the characters, I love the universe. And I actually thought this was an unusually interesting film. They take almost an Empire Strikes Back phase by separating a lot of the Guardians in this, but the stories are still fun and interesting, and I really like it. It's really unusual, and here's a spoiler. There is some bad guys in this movie, but there's a late reveal of who the actual villain they're fighting is in this, and if you're not a comic book fan, it comes very abruptly. It's very interesting because we get to see Star-Lord's father. We get to meet him. He's played by Kurt Russell, and Kurt does a great job. Talk about making people look young. They show young images of Kurt Russell in this movie, and the technology is phenomenal. It's like watching Kurt Russell back in the 70s and 80s when he was, in his prime. But they do such a great job with this. Yes, they up the ante on comedy. And ironically, what I liked about this is they up the ante on comedy and even did a subplot that's very, I remember bawling my eyes out, very heartwarming. It seems because they tried to make this bigger and bigger, the one thing they did take away from is the action sequence. They were so confident on their characters. I think a lot of people have problems with this. People who tell me that this one is goofier than Thor Ragnarok, I just like, no, not in my opinion. I think that's ridiculous to say. But quite frankly, I like this movie a lot. I think they give you the feels in a big way. I think the storytelling is really interesting. A character that was just kind of a mild one, Yondu, basically for me, became absolutely legendary in this movie and the stuff they did. I'm really excited to see what the Guardians will bring in the future, and I look forward to all of them. It's just a wonderful set of films, and they do kind of fit on their own. So, number 10, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. This is probably in most people's top 3. In fact, I know a lot of people who will put this at number 1, but for me, it's only number 9. And it's Captain America Winter Soldier. I love that they made this a political thriller, and they do a great job. Since you haven't heard any of the Captain America movies so far on my list, you probably have guessed that they're all in my top 10. So I give it that. But if I had to say, this is probably my least favorite of the three. But the fact that this is number 9 should tell you that I'm still a big fan of it. Chris Evans' epitome of Captain America in my eyes. He is just so good-hearted and stuff. And what I love about it is I was a fan of Chris Evans before he did this, when he did Fantastic Four. He did movies like Cellular and stuff like that. And he always played this cocky attitude. So to see him in such a mature role and that we've seen him grow so much is just phenomenal. And I just think Winter Soldier is really interesting. It's a political thriller. And I like, again, they took a chance. I even like that they took a chance, and a lot of people consider this one of the best movies. I do think it's one of the best movies, but I have 8 that I thought were better for me. But I love that, you know, this is where Marvel was just starting to say, you know, we don't have to make origin stories all the time. We can actually create things. And of course, Winter Soldier sets up for so much in the future of the MCU. It's an important film. I think it's a really good film, and you can never go wrong with the action in the Captain America movies. Number 8 for me is The Avengers, The Age of Ultron. A lot of people, you know, put this really low because it was kind of disappointing after we had the first Avengers movie. But for me, I actually still liked Age of Ultron. I think sometimes movies don't do certain storylines justice. And I think the development of Ultron comes aloft a little fast in this movie. But of course, in these Avengers movies, they just got so much to do. But I always like the teamings of all the superheroes coming together. I look forward to seeing like interactions with like Tony and Bruce or Thor and Captain America, and just seeing them. And I give Age of Ultron all that. I also like that they developed a couple of new characters in this, like Vision and Scarlet Witch is in this, and I got her brother, which I'm blanking on the, you know, name of the character, but even though I kind of didn't like how they handled his story at the end, I thought it was okay. But I really liked the character, and I really kind of wanted to see more of him. I didn't really spoil it, but I did kind of hint that he doesn't really show up again. So figure out what that means. There's some weird stuff, like the whole lifting of a whole city and stuff. But I actually think Age of Ultron's still good. I like the villain in this. I like that it's kind of like Tony creates this villain indirectly, and I just think it's kind of a neat premise. And my only problem is that the story does get a little rushed, but I still think overall it's still a really well done movie. And as I said, I really like when the characters interact with one another. They do such an incredible job. Coming in at number 7 is Captain America again, this time the First Avenger. Yeah, I'm going to have to put this one higher than Winter Soldier because I think it's a great origin story. I always like stuff with World War II. And I think this movie gets the edge over Winter Soldier for me because I could watch that stuff before Cap becomes Cap. That young, the technical achievements they did with making Chris Evans this short, skinny little kid who has this heart that that wants to be a soldier. That stuff to me is gold. And he does an incredible job. As I said, it was weird because he's always played these cocky characters, and to see him play this, like, not cocky, but, you know, I have the heart of a soldier. I just don't have. And I'm all about emotions, and this has it, and it doesn't let down when he goes. I really like the look of Hugo Weaving's villain, again, Red Skull. I like the Nazi aspect, even though they didn't really use that term. They used Hydra, and I like it. And then there's the whole heartfelt stuff about, you know, him making a date with Agent Cooper, about how we'll have a dance together and stuff. And there's so much sweetness in this movie and action. And just the little, you know, dealing with stuff like how Captain America's doing, you know, propaganda things where he's like pretending to punch out Hitler and doing big dance numbers. It's all so real and well put together that for me, it has to be a little higher than Winter Soldier, you know. I'll go over nostalgia anytime over political intrigue for me. That's just me. Just me. Coming in at number 6 is the very first Iron Man. This is actually a really good movie. It's rewatchable. If this movie flopped, we wouldn't maybe had a whole Marvel Cinematic Universe. We may have gotten some of these movies, but not as intertwined as possible. Robert Downey Jr. was a long shot, but he nails it from pretty much the very beginning. And if he didn't, it would have been a hard sell, but it's great. They took a chance on starting the universe with a character that's well known from comic book fans, but not other things. But word got out soon. This is a fun movie. There's some great action sequences in it. I love the whole way we see how he escapes terrorists by making the thing. It actually shows that Tony's really smart. You get that great go-between, not only between him and Jarvis and him and this, that great little robot thing with the arm. I think that's great. And of course, his banter with Pepper Potts is all in there. And it's just an entertaining film. And it is very rewatchable. I showed this to a friend recently, and it still holds up pretty well. And I think it should be high just because of if this movie didn't nail it, we would not be talking about these 20 movies, and I might be talking about something else. So I think it's an important movie. I think it sets, you know, Tony Stark was instantly an iconic character, and he's only built that even more. But it all comes from this. Jon Favreau, the director, he should get his kudos for this because he, you know, they gave him a real shot here, and he had just done stuff like, I believe he just did, I could be wrong, Cowboys and Aliens, but I could be wrong. But anyhow, we forgive him for that because Iron Man did so well. And Jon Favreau, very funny in the show movies too. Coming in at number 5, we're already in the top 5, and number 5 is Spider-Man Homecoming. Big Tobey Maguire fan here, and I love the original 3 Spider-Mans. Yes, yes, I had trouble with the third one too, but overall I thought all 3 of them were pretty damn good. The Andrew Garfield ones, we're already getting a reboot, and I was just kind of like, I didn't like the first Amazing Spider-Man, and other people loved it. Then the second one came out, and I actually loved that, but a lot of people didn't. And then they said, we're going to reboot Spider-Man again. And I was like, I'm done. You know, there was even some breathing space between the Batman movies, but another Spider-Man? They hired Tom Holland on this one, and he was the first real age-appropriate Peter Parker. And I remember going into Homecoming very leery of another Spider-Man, and here it is, my number 5 movie. It's really awesome. It doesn't take away from the Tobey Maguire movies because they're kind of their own little trilogy. But Tom Holland nails the character perfectly. I like the decisions they made, having Tony Stark kind of being like a mentor to him. I like that they went with a more age-appropriate Aunt May, because they always have this little old lady playing Aunt May. And Sally Field was getting better in the last 2 movies, but you know, this is his aunt, not his grandmother, so it was nice to see that. And And I have to thank Mike for that, because he was the one who actually always reminded me. It's like, why is his aunt so old? Anyhow, and it could happen. But anyhow, Tom Holland was a breath of fresh air. The script was incredible. This was around the time we started getting some solid villains for Marvel. We had Thanos developing, Killmonger in the Black Panther, even though Black Panther might not have been as high. One of my favorite villains, Michael B. Jordan, and Michael Keaton as the Vulture in this is incredible. He's really good. They explain why he would be a villain, and it's so well done. And the plot twist in this movie had me, like, literally with my jaw wide open. And I was just, and I'm not going to spoil it, because you really need to see it to get it, but it is so awesome. And it was so great. Everybody was excited because Spider-Man was finally going to be joining the Marvel Universe. We saw a little bit of him in Civil War. This is a beautiful continuation of that. And I look forward to the next Spider-Man. I really hope they can nail it because they got something in Tom Holland. And I say keep using it. Number 5, Spider-Man Homecoming. Number 4, speaking of Spider-Man's debut, Captain America Civil War. I really like this movie. It's my favorite of the Captain America movies. As you can see, all 3 of the Captain America movies hit my top 10. I like this one. They made the battle between Tony Stark and Steve Rogers really intricate. It was building in some of the earlier movies, but it really hits a high note. I love how Captain Cap is just so protective of Bucky, even though Bucky is a villain. Lots of nice plot twists in this. And of course, that epic airplane fight where we see Avengers versus Avengers is incredible. We also get the debut of Spider-Man that could have gone wrong, but again, Tom Holland was perfect for the role. Fits in nicely. He doesn't take over the role. He just comes in and really blows us away with the fact that Spider-Man is in this universe now, and it's incredible. And Civil War just sets up so much. There's some brutal sequences in this that, but it really got us on a, are you a team Captain or are you a team Iron Man? And, you know, to this date, I have friends that are all team Iron Man, and me personally, I'm team Captain America. But you can see the way they did it, you see both their sides. Like, even though I'm team Cap, I can see that, I can see the Tony Stark thing, and that comes down to good writing. This movie just is a really well done thing. So much happens in this movie, and I go, that airplane fight alone is one of the best battle sequences in any of the MCU things. It's long awaited, and it's a lot of fun too. Coming in at number 3, I can't believe we're almost at the top here. Number 3 for me is Avengers Infinity War. Yes, I know. I had issues with this movie, but it is still an amazing movie. You know, after so many movies came, this came right after Black Panther, and it was such an emotional film. The thing that makes this movie work is Thanos. Everybody comes to play in this, so it's really great in that aspect. But if they didn't get a strong villain, and as I said, a lot of the movies in this top 21, there are a lot of forgettable villains in this. They only just started getting villains right in the last little while. But Thanos was perfect, because not only was he a villain, but you could actually sympathize with him. He actually is really well done. Josh Brolin should get commended for bringing it. And then all the other characters are just phenomenal. And of course, one of the greatest cliffhangers of all time, you know, again, some spoilers here, but that snap that we hear, and then we just see half the population of the Earth, including some of our favorite characters. Like, there wasn't a dry eye. I went opening weekend, so we're talking about a whole bunch of comic book movie nerds, and there wasn't a dry eye in the house. Even if you weren't admitting it to it, you were, like, almost misty-eyed. Just seeing some of your favorite characters. Now, albeit some of the characters that disappeared, we're like, well, we know there's sequels coming out. But it was still emotional, you know. We knew there was a new Spider-Man movie, but when he's clinging to Tony Stark, again, spoiler. Tom Holland's performance is just heartbreaking, just holding on to Tony as long as he can. And quite frankly, just powerful in so many ways. And that's where I got some issues coming up with Endgame, but I'll go in with low expectations, but I'll talk about that later. This is an amazing movie. My biggest problems with this movie is they've just got so much to do, and the Russo brothers do an amazing job on it. But the problem is, there's just so much going on, and the pacing is off. They can spend time with all these different characters that are separated, and then 20 minutes to a half hour later, you're like, oh yeah, I forgot about this story. And I can't offer them any way that they could have fixed it. So I will give them that. But the pacing does bother me a little bit when I see this movie. And when I rewatched it, I always see the pacing problems because, you know, some stories you're more invested. I was invested in all the stories, but sometimes there were like characters I wanted to see in other things. But overall, still a great movie. It's my number 3 movie. There's not much you can say. Looking forward to Endgame. We'll talk about that in a minute. I got other 2 movies to deal with. And number 2, this was a hard one. I had to go back and forth with 1 and 2, but I went with my gut reactions more than my heart. Because if I went with my heart, this probably would have been my number 1 movie. But number 2 is Guardians of the Galaxy. I knew nothing of this property. Then the first trailers came out, and it intrigued me. And by the first viewing of this movie, I was absolutely in love with all these characters. Chris Pratt is just phenomenal. Zoe Saldana, I'm thinking. Dave Bautista, even like Vin Diesel's voicing of Groot, and Bradley Cooper, almost unrecognizable vocally for the raccoon. And even though my favorite character in this was Star-Lord by Chris Pratt, the performance Bradley Cooper gives for Rocket is just phenomenal. I know there's a sequence where he gets drunk in it and just, he has almost like a little bit of a emotional breakdown, and it's actually so well done. There's a lot of humor in this, and it's just, to me, when I watched Guardians of the Galaxy, it was like when I was a kid watching Star Wars for the first time. I got lost in this world, and I just loved it because I didn't know what Guardians of the Galaxy was, and when I walked out of the theater, I was just like, I love this. This is great. And I'm not the only one. I think people started buying the comic book. This is a comic book that didn't have a lot of sales. And then people were like, I need to know more. Star-Lord's just an amazing character. All the characters are pretty fascinating. And again, doesn't have the best villain. But, you know, the whole Yondu and his pirates is kind of a funny arc, and there's a lot of nifty little things, and an amazing soundtrack. You know, lots of 70s AM gold that, you know, Volume 2 had an interesting soundtrack too, but this one just, you know, brought in, you know, stuff like Hooked on a Feeling, and I can't even remember half the songs, but just a whole bunch of great songs that just made you like, oh, I love this song. I love this song. And a clever way of doing it with this mixtape that Star-Lord's mother left for him. It's an emotional feels movie. It's got great action sequences, and it's got lots of comedy. But mostly it's got character, and these characters won my heart. And as I said, if I was voting for my heart, this would have been my number 1 movie, but it's going to have to settle for number 2, because I believe the movie in my gut that should be at number 1 is the very first Avengers movie. Yep. This was, let me look, was it the 6th movie in or something like that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah. And Marvel's Avengers came out 4 years after the first set of movies. And they took all these unusual characters, Iron Man, Incredible Hulk, Thor, Captain America. Like, you got one from World War II, you got one from, you know, another realm in space. You've got a science guy, and you've got a guy who's in a robot suit. And then you throw in Hawkeye and Black Widow. And I remember, even though I wasn't a big, I've always been a more big DC fan. even when they mention Avengers in Iron Man, when Nick Fury comes in and talks to Tony Stark, I remember having to ask Mike, I go, so what's the Avengers? Like, everybody in the audience was excited when they mentioned it. And he said, that's kind of their take on Justice League. So being a DC fan, I knew instantly, oh, that's why people are excited. They could have faltered so bad, but Joss Whedon, who directed and wrote the screenplay, does an amazing job with this. He came in and mixed those characters up in a good way. I think all the stories are pretty solid, and that moment when you just see them all and the camera swirls around them, you just knew you were seeing a cinematic masterpiece that brought everything together. What we didn't know is how big the universe would get even more. And even with Endgame coming up, it's going to get bigger. And now we're going to be meeting new things. They took so many chances, different styles of movies and stuff. But the Avengers could have easily faltered. But it didn't. For me, it's one of the best films. It's the best film going. My God, as I said, if I voted by heart, Guardians would be up there. But I still think Avengers, that moment when you see them all assemble, it's just powerful. And the action sequence, absolutely phenomenal. You get the little fights in there physically, vocally, and, you know, attitudes and egos building, and it's all makes for a very entertaining film, and that's why I put Marvel's The Avengers, my number one film of the MCU top 21. There you have it. If you want to share yours with me, that's fine. That being said, in a couple of days I'll be seeing Endgame, and it'll be interesting to see where that one fits in this. Will it be in my top 5, my top 10, 15, 21? Of course I want it to be into my top 5, but I'm a little nervous because Endgame, I'm going to stay positive because that's my new mantra, but if you want to go a little dark, I have to say there is a possibility that they've got a lot to succeed. And I can see this movie kind of failing. It's got more shots of failing than succeeding. So I think they're almost going to have to pull a rabbit out of their hats, because every way I try to figure out how it could actually end, I think it might be pushing it to the limit. Now, I have to give them credit. In 21 films, I haven't hated any of these films. So it'd be really sad if Endgame was the one that was like, ugh, I hate it. Now, that being said, as much as I've enjoyed the journey of the 21 films in this last 11 years, I've decided that after Endgame, I'm not going to go to every Marvel movie anymore. For me, the story is coming to an end, and there are still characters I want to see. I want to see more Spider-Man movies. I want to see more Guardians of the Galaxy movies. But for me, I've invested a lot in these movies, and even though I've enjoyed all 21 of them, I said the last couple, I've actually been a little underwhelmed by, you know, and they got a template that's working, and even though they do take chances, I'm at that age where I just don't want them to tell me what I have to go see. So I am going to, and that being said, I still might wind up at seeing them. But for me, Endgame is going to be kind of the end game, because I'm going to just enjoy it. And then I'll go see the movies I need to see, but you know, there's so much I want to see. I want to see more classic films. I want to see more indie films. And the big blockbusters haven't exactly been leaving me in the best places. So I am excited about seeing Endgame this weekend, and I'll certainly have my review on next week's episode. But that being said, I'm not going to be bullied into what movies I'm going to see anymore. I've loved the run. I love these characters. I'm going to be crying, I'm sure, when we lose some of them, because that's the word. There's a reason why they're not trying to show it to too many people, because they don't want spoilers to leak. I'll certainly, when I review it next week, I will not have any. So if I don't talk about anything in the movie, you'll know why. But anyhow, I am looking forward to it, but I am going in a little hesitant because they've set them up so big. A cliffhanger of this size has a lot of chance of failing. But that being said, they haven't failed yet. So I think they could just nail this one, and it would be absolutely amazing if they do. I'll be bringing lots of Kleenex, and Well, maybe something, as it's the longest one, I might have to take something so I don't have to run to the toilet in the middle of it. Kind of wish they'd do the old intermission like they do in the old movies, where it's like, for the next 7 minutes, we're going to let you go to the bathroom. But, yeah, none of that. So I probably, you know, is it wrong to say I should bring a bottle with me? No, okay, I'm not going to do that. Anyhow, let me know what MCU movies touch your heart or make you feel good or absolutely loathe. As I said, I know some people that hate some of the Marvel films, but for me, they're all been winners, and even the lowest, I really enjoyed. So that being said, let's hope Endgame follows it through, and they do it. We'll find out next week when I bring my review for you for that. And I look forward to talking to you all very, very soon.